Mothers are teachers, mothers are disciplinarians, mothers are cleaning ladies, some mothers are gardeners and mowers of lawns, mothers are nurses and doctors and psychologists and counselors and chauffeurs and coaches. Mothers are developers of personality, molders of vocabulary, shapers of attitude. Mothers are soft voices saying, I love you. And mothers are a link to God, a child's first impression of God's love. Mothers are all these things and much, much more. You know, one of my favorite columns by Irma Bombeck tells the story of the act of creating God. Maybe some of you don't remember Irma Bombeck, but she was a regular columnist and she was a creative person and she's mostly a humorist, but when she was writing her material. But she says that on the day that God created mothers, he had already worked long overtime. And the angel said to him, Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this one. And the Lord turned and said, have you read the specs on this model? They're supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She is to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She is to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She is to have a lap that will disappear when she stands up. She is to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. She is supposed to have 6 pairs of hands. 6 pairs of hands, said the angel, that's impossible. You know, it's not the 6 pairs of hands that bothers me, said the Lord, it's the 3 pairs of eyes. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees through closed doors, and whenever she says, what are you kids doing in there, she already knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things that she's supposed to see, doesn't want to see, but she must see. And then she has a pair right in front that can look at a child that just do. And can communicate love and understanding without saying a word. Well, that's too much, said the angel. You know, you can't put that much in one model. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow? No, I can't, said the Lord. I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she is sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger, who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower. And then the angel looked at the model of motherhood a little more closely and said, she's too soft. Oh, but she is tough, said the Lord. You'd be surprised how much this mother can do. Can she think? Asked the angel. Not only can she think, said the Lord, but she can reason and compromise and persuade. And then the angel reached over and touched her cheek. He says, this one has a leak. I told you that you couldn't put that much in one model. That's not a leak, that's a tear. And what's a tear for, asked the angel. Well, it's for joy, for sadness, for sorrow, for disappointment, for pride. You're a genius, said the angel. And the Lord said, oh, but I didn't put it there. Maybe with some of this background in mind and the specialty of mothers all together, we can understand Mrs. Zebedee, the mother of James and John. So we're looking at Matthew 20 and 23. It says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. And she said, grant that one of these 2 sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. Now, Mrs. Zebedee was aware of the teachings of Jesus about the kingdom. And she was also very aware of the fact that her sons, James and John, were very close to him. They were 2/3 of that inner circle of Peter, James, and John. And so she was certain that when the Lord formed his kingdom, that they would have positions of responsibility and authority. But in the first part of this same chapter, Jesus told a story that really must have disturbed her. It was a story about a landowner who went out to the laborers early in the morning to get some laborers to work for him, and they agreed upon a fair day's wage and they began working. So it says at noon he went out and he got some more laborers, and they began working. And then later on in the afternoon he got some more laborers. They went out and they worked. And at the end of the day, everybody got paid the same. And it must have caused Mrs. Zebedee to wonder, will my sons really have positions of authority in the kingdom? And so when the opportunity presented itself, she came to the Lord. And Matthew says that she bowed before him and she made this request. So when you establish your kingdom, I would request seats on your right and on your left for my two sons. Now we might well want to criticize Mrs. Zebedee here for her presumptuousness, but since we are celebrating Mother's Day here this evening, maybe we ought to think for a few moments concerning some positive things about Mrs. Zebedee. We need also to recognize that when she came to Jesus, while Jesus did not grant her request, neither did he deny it. No, he simply reminded her of the cost of being seated on the right or on the left, and then told her that it is the Father who determines who will be seated there. Now, what are some of the good things about Mrs. Zebedee? First of all, she came to the Lord praying that first that her sons might be a part of his kingdom. I can think of no more important task of motherhood than to seek to ensure that your children are a part of the kingdom of God. I know that many mothers pray, and sometimes mothers pray out of necessity. Sometimes they pray because motherhood is not easy, but extremely difficult. Well, James Dobson tells a story when they was raising his son Ryan when he was a small baby. He came home, and it had been a terrible day for his wife. Ryan had been sick, and he cried all day long. Now, I know a lot of particularly your mothers are going to be able to relate to this story. You've had a similar experience. But once, as she was changing his diapers, the telephone rang, and she reached over to answer it before fastening up his diaper. And yes, then, Ryan had attacked a diarrhea. And she cleaned that mess up and put him in some clean, sweet, smelling clothes. And she took him into the living room and she fed him. And as she was burping him, he threw up all over himself and on her and on the couch, too. And Dobson writes, he says, when I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere. Shirley cried out to him and she said, was all of this in my contract? Sometimes the mothers pray just out of the frustration of it all, and sometimes in the frustration of trying to teach our children, we realize that there is this difficulty of communication that can take place. A little two-year-old boy named Steve was given his first responsibility. Steve was told to watch Susan, his baby sister, while the father stepped out of the room. So the father had been gone only a few moments when he heard a thud. And then he heard Susan starting to cry. And when the father rushed back in, he found Susan falling off the couch and was stretched out on the floor. And meanwhile, Steve just sat there looking so innocent. And the father said, Steve, I told you to watch her. And Steve answered, I did. He watched her fall and he watched her cry. You know, he did exactly what he was told to do. You know, being a parent is not easy. And sometimes you're filled with joy and sometimes with sadness. Sometimes your children make you so proud you want to pop your buttons, and other times you can't find enough handkerchiefs to dry your tears. But what good is it if our children are successful in making money and driving fine automobiles and living in good neighborhoods, but they don't know God? What does it matter if they gain the whole world, but they lose their eternal life? Being a parent is not easy. It is difficult. But Mrs. Zebedee gives us a valuable example, for she prayed earnestly that her son would be a part of the kingdom. We need the same concern for our children. And I hope that in the heart of every mother and father here this evening, there is the burden to go to the throne of God and to pray for your children, to pray that they will find salvation, that they will be gifted with eternal life. And this is a place to begin. Now, secondly, not only did Mrs. Zebedee pray that her children be a part of the kingdom, but she prayed that her sons would be actively involved in the work of his kingdom. Now, maybe it's not enough just to confess Christ. You know, churches are full of people who are content to sit and fill up pews. There are plenty of people willing to step back and receive a blessing. But seldom do they get involved in doing any of the real work of the church. Where does the spirit of service begin? It begins at home, with mothers and fathers setting the example and praying that their sons and daughters might be involved in the work of the kingdom. As teachers, as leaders, as discipling others, that they might be the ones to go out into the world and to find the lost, to see that the church continues on until Jesus comes again. Now, so Mrs. Zebedee prayed that her children be actively involved in the work of his kingdom, and we need to walk in her footsteps there also. Now, thirdly, she had big expectations. And I like that. You know, she didn't just pray that her children would be doorkeepers. She wanted them on the right hand and on the left hand of Jesus. When you're working in a kingdom, there are no higher positions than being on the right hand and left hand of the king himself. And that's what she wanted for her son. We may consider Mrs. Zebedee's here being brash and presumptuous, you know, but I admire her boldness. Too often we settle for mediocrity in the church. For too long we have been content with just barely making it through the door. For too long we have been content to sit back and let things happen. It is time for some of us to take our position on the right and left hand and become leaders, molding and fashioning the outreach of the church, mobilizing to make sure that the message of Christ goes into all the world. In fact, it is time to strive for excellence, to reach for the very best there is. The Lord calls us to be His disciples and to be effective laborers in His kingdom. Now, do you remember back when Irma Bombeck had God saying as he was creating a mother, "I'm close to creating something very much like myself." And I suppose that's why today is such a special day, because we recognize that a mother's love is probably the closest example that we have to God's love. It is a love that goes to the valley of the shadow of death to bring life in the very beginning. It is a love that sacrifices itself over and over again and wouldn't even dare to lay down its life for its own offspring. Now, the story is told out of World War II and the Holocaust that took the lives of millions of people, of Solomon Rosenberg and his family, and it's a true story. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were arrested and they were placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp. And the rules were simple. As long as you do your work, you're permitted to leave, to live. And when you become too weak to do your work, then you're exterminated. And Rosenberg watched his mother and his father as they were marched off to their death. And he knew that the next would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor, and he searched for the faces of his family. And when he found them, he would huddle together, and they would embrace one another and thank God for another day of life. One day Rosenberg came back and he didn't see those familiar faces. And he finally discovered his son Joshua in a corner, huddled,
and weeping and praying. And he said, God, really, it's not true. And Joshua turned and said, it is too possible. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came to carry him away. Where is your mother? Oh, Papa, he said. When they came for David, he was afraid and said. And Mama said, there's nothing to be afraid of, David. And she took his hand. That is motherhood. Mothers, tomorrow is your day, and may God bless you. And I pray that if there's someone here who has never experienced the love of God that is so close to, or the love that is so close to the love of God that can be found in a mother's love, that you will find. And I pray that if you have felt that you have had to walk through the valley alone so many times, that you will recognize that there is a hand that is reaching out to you saying, there is nothing to be afraid of. I'll go with you. And I pray that you will recognize that one has already gone through the valley of the shadow of death for you and made it possible for you to live forever. You know, the Lord extends His loving invitation in much the same way that a mother opens the door of her home and invites her children to come back in again. And invites you to be a part of your glory time. And be in the same place. But until that time, may you feel it. We're going to end this evening just another little video that we want to share with you.
What I have done is I have figured out what a mom would say in a 24-hour period, and I have condensed it to 2 minutes and 55 seconds. So strap on your seatbelt. Here we go. Get up out of bed, wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tough. So remember, the orthodontist will be seeing you at 3-2. Don't forget, your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play, don't shovel. Choose lovely, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside, don't play rough. Would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Work it out, wait your turn, never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make a bed, do it now, do we have all day? Were you born in a barn, would you like some hay? Can you even hear a word I say? Answer the phone, get off the phone. Don't sit so close, turn it down. No texting at the table, no more computer time tonight. Your iPod's my iPod if you don't listen up. Where are you going and with whom and what time do you think you're coming home? Saying thank you, please, excuse me, makes you welcome everywhere you roam. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait till you have a couple little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly, but right now I thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew, we'd appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two of the stuff you hate. Use your fork, do not burp, or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an A, get a door, don't be smart with me. Get a grip, get a hero, get a 2-3. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD, get a ghost. I don't care if you started, you're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? If I've said it once, I've said it at least 1,000 times before that. You're too old to act this way, and it must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking, stand up straighter when you walk a place. For everything, and everything must be in place. Stop. real to cry about. Oh! Brush your teeth, wash your face, put your PJs on, get in bed, get a hug, say a prayer with Mom. Don't forget, I love you. And tomorrow we will do this all again, because the moms were never ending. You don't need the reason why. Because. I said so. I'm the mom. The mom. Ta-da!
Father, we do thank you for the gift of motherhood, for our mothers, for the gift of motherhood that we see around us, with all the families that are represented here. Father, we thank you for the strong families and for their desire to raise their children up in the Lord and to move them on forward toward your kingdom. Father, we want to just thank you for the opportunity of being here this evening and to celebrate this time together. Bless the rest of the